Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, rolling into the happier happy hour. I know lots in the audience, you're happy because you're going to a big Al Franken show, a sold-out event at the Barrymore Theater. Al, a recent guest here. We were too successful, Don. We sold all the tickets too quickly. They didn't even have to buy more ads.
Nice.
I welcome my little buddy Dominic. Welcome back, Dom.
Hey, happy Friday, Crudy.
And we got a fine guest right from the top. He is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman. He is Ben Wickler. We welcome him back. Ben, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Ben.
Great to be with you today.
Hey, I understand, Ben, you're from an undisclosed airport location, man. I hope business or pleasure, Ben.
Business. We're going to make sure we have everything we need to stop Tim Michaels from turning the Wisconsin state government into a personal corruption factory.
Well, that's quite interesting. Before we really, really dive into the newly jumped into the pool on the Republican gubernatorial side, I can tell you who seems very, very scared. I've started calling her Big Lie Becky Clayfish. As soon as Michaels made his announcement, Ben, I'm sure you took note. Clayfish, as if she wasn't radical enough, she is taking a new tact, rigged elections. I hadn't heard her go quite this far. I think this change has got to be a reflection of fear of the Michaels campaign.
The thing that's kind of scary about radical Rebecca Clayfish is that whenever she has a concern about her political future, she lurches further into the right-wing fever swamps and further away from the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, she went from acknowledging that Biden won to now saying that the election was rigged, and she doesn't know if she would have certified the 2020 election, and she's refused to say whether she would sign a bill that would allow the 2024 election to be overturned by the legislature. I mean, if you imagine Donald Trump putting in the call that he did to Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, where he said, "You got to find me 11,000 votes." Imagine he's calling Rebecca Clayfish. She would pick up and say, "How many votes do you need, Mr. President?" There's zero chance in the world that she would have the willingness to stand up for a principle to defend the people of Wisconsin against someone who wants to be a tyrant for this country. And that by itself disqualifies her. But nonetheless, she's going to keep running and running even further into the far reaches of constitutional oblivion. And we've got to stop her.
Well, Ben, I would have said she's the clear nominee for the Republicans, at least before the entry of Tim Michaels. You mentioned him from the top. Let's talk about this billionaire in the making. Comes from, you know, a rich family, apparently. They're in the construction business. And as you alluded to, Ben, he basically wants to keep doing business with his family, wants them to bid all the big governmental contracts. But the governor would literally sign those contracts. So if he were successful, no one could be more conflicted than Tim Michaels signing deals with the Michaels Corporation.
It's stunning. And, you know, his campaign launch ad showed a picture of him as a child with his dad at the construction site, you know, with the big construction equipment with his last name on it, because his dad started the company 60 years ago. And then at the end, he said, "Wisconsin needs a self-made businessman." We're just like, okay, if Wisconsin needs a self-made businessman, then which candidate are you referring to, dude? He's somebody who, you know, was born in it with a silver shovel in his mouth and believes that he, you know, he got himself all the way there. The Michaels Corporation does, you know, all kinds of work all over the country, and it's a major, major contractor, including in the state of Wisconsin. And he's now saying that if he personally divests himself, his brother's the CEO. He was the vice president. he stepped away to run for governor, and now he's imagining that he's going to be signing off on contract after contract for his brother, who's he went on talk radio and encouraged said he would encourage his family business to keep bidding for contracts with the state. It goes way beyond what we saw with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's it's not like the Trump Corporation is the main is one of the biggest contractors for federal government contracts for one of the biggest things it spends money on, but road construction. I mean, Tony Evers has paved enough roads to drive to Denver and back, and the next president, or the next term of the Evers administration, or God help us, a Michaels administration or Clayfish administration would be here while tons of infrastructure dollars are poured in through the federal bipartisan infrastructure bill. So there's going to be a lot of road construction, and the idea that the person signing off is someone whose last name is on the on the construction equipment is it's so un-Wisconsin, a state that has prided itself on clean government. It's disqualifying too.
Ben, let me ask you about this Michaels campaign launch. Already the airwaves, Righty Whitey Talk Radio here in Madison, they're filthy with ads for this guy. And he talks about turning Madison upside down. But before we talk about this, I'm not exactly sure what it means, sort of branding. This was the least successful campaign launch since like Brad Schimmel. I mean, this guy let Tommy Thompson make his announcement for him, forgot to fill out the paperwork. And other than the fact he's got millions of dollars to spend on advertising, this is not exactly how you roll out a successful campaign. And then someone told him, tell him you're going to turn Madison upside down. Ben, you've done a little political strategery. Who should get fired for that one, and what does it mean, sir?
So he is trying to claim that he's somehow, an outsider. But he's been personally a giant benefactor for Republican politicians, including the Walker administration. He was the ultimate insider. He was the Republican Senate nominee in 2004. And in a year when the state came down to less than 1% in the presidential race, he got walloped at I think, 11-point win for Russ Feingold in that Senate race. He's a guy who's been at the heart of Republican politics for more than 20 years. He was on Becky Clayfish's board of her 1848 project. So he was advising the other candidate for, one of the other candidates for Wisconsin governor on her policy platform, which, we've yet to see whether he didn't just cut and paste it into his own campaign. But this is a guy who's, a big money donor, big money government contractor, right up in there with Republican politicians, has been a failed politician, statewide candidate twice himself, now claiming that he's going to change politics in the state and that he's, his self-made businessman who's going to divest himself from the company that his brother runs. Great. It's so flimsy. It's like a cobweb posing as a brick wall.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Ben Wickler. He is the chair of the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin. Ben, always a pleasure to speak with you. But I got to push back just a little bit, and I'm not fond of the Republican politics, especially these days, but what is a guy like Michaels supposed to do? If he says he's going to divest, what else would you like to see him do in order to be, quote-unquote, qualified to not be encumbered with, some conflict if he were to become governor? What's he supposed to do, Ben?
I mean, if he wanted to really avoid any conflicts of interest, I guess he would say that his family's company wouldn't bid on contracts in the state. But that wouldn't be good for the company. It wouldn't be good for the workers who work on those projects. It wouldn't be good for the state of Wisconsin. He just shouldn't run for governor. The only reason why he's running for governor, it seems like, is that he would like to have a position of political power, like he has tried to do and failed to do multiple times before. It's not like there was a draft Tim Michaels movement flaring up across the hills and dales of Wisconsin. This is a guy who has had a long time interest in acquiring a political office and saw his chance, so he's going for it. But that doesn't mean any of us should take his candidacy seriously.
Ben, I want to get your take. Elon Musk, obviously, in negotiation, has an offer to buy Twitter, and he tweeted out yesterday that he strongly supported Obama for president, but today's Democratic Party has been hijacked, I tell you, Ben, by extremists, according to Ben Wickler. Now, never mind Derek Van Orden, a candidate for Congress right here in the state of Wisconsin, went to the insurrection and has apparently been not entirely truthful about his actions. But what's your take on that? I mean, I've kind of evolved over the last 10 years to more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party. But what do you take from a guy like Musk, who has a lot of followers and a lot of influence, describing the Democratic Party in that way?
you know, Joe Biden has come out in favor of a tax that would require that billionaires pay their fair share of taxes. And for Elon Musk, oh my goodness, the Democratic Party has gone so far to the left, even though the overwhelming majority of Americans agree that it makes all the sense in the world. The Republican Party has supported the violent overthrow of the government of the United States. It's, you know, the Wisconsin Republicans want students to bring guns to school in their cars in the school parking lots. They're talking about complete and total bans on abortion, even horrible cases of rape and incest or things that threaten life of the mother in some places. They're trying to ban books. The Republican Party has fallen off the deep end on the right. And the GOP's main strategy seems to be trying to, you know, come up with scare tactics to divide people and make people freak out about, you know, this or that issue of the month that they invent, when the core fight in American politics is whether a tiny group of ultra-rich people should have any accountability to anyone, should be required to pay back to the society that helped them become incredibly wealthy by paying their fair share or not, and whether we should actually, you know, help people afford the cost of living and be able to send their kids to great public schools and drive on paved roads and get health care when you're sick and need to see a doctor. That's the fundamental question in our politics. And whether you're white, black, or brown, or you live in a rural area or a city or a suburb, we all need the same basic things. And for Elon Musk's politics, he doesn't want to pay a dime to ensure that everyone can get the basic necessities of life. So I get that he has now become so rich that he is no longer seems to have anything to do. I mean, he wants to go to outer space, so apparently he doesn't care much about what happens to those of us still on Earth. But that doesn't mean that the Democratic Party's left him. That means that he is in high altitude orbit now instead of down here on the ground with the rest of us.
New polling out this week, Ben, last 30 seconds or so. Ron Johnson, not a very popular incumbent in the state of Wisconsin. Ben, what's going to take to beat him?
So it's interesting. It's very similar. It's pointing out something really striking that he did, which he just admitted. He used his power as a senator when he had the power to shape federal policy. His number one biggest achievement as a U.S. senator was to insist on a specific tax provision, a massive tax cut for himself and his biggest donors that gave the middle class almost nothing. And we are going to hold him to that, and he's going to pay the political price for it.
Ben Wickler, don't miss your flight, or at least don't blame it on the devil's advocates. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes from an undisclosed business traveling location.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much, Tom. Thanks so much, Greg. Take care.
Have a good weekend. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.